Gordon.
Now we're holding on page 40 in Yoma Ois Mem Gimel. We actually did the first line of the Ois yesterday, but we may as well go it over again because I left out quite a few details, actually. The context is, now in the Mishnah, you had two different opinions about how many Parochasin there were between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We had the Tanakhama saying there were two, and therefore the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in kind of a zigzag. And then we had Rabbi Yossi saying that even in the second Mishmikdash, there was only one Parochas, and it was pinned open on the north side. Now, the Gemara discusses the point that when the Kohen Gadol is coming in to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, according to the mayor who agrees with Rabbi Yossi about the layout of the Parochasin, he says the Kohen Gadol was walking along the north side of the Heichal. He goes between the Shulchan and the wall, and then he goes straight into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the question is, then the whole time he's walking, he's able to see into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mela, according to the Chachamim, that there are two Parochasin, so whichever side he's going from, he's not actually seeing in there because the other Parochas is blocking him. But according to Rabbi Yossi, if there was only the one, wouldn't he be seeing directly in the whole time, and it's not becoming it? So now comes the piece on Rabbi Yossi and Chaviv in Yisrael, that Rabbi Yossi says the Jewish people are so precious to Hashem, that the pasuk doesn't require them to have a shliach. Meaning, so now you have, so Rashi explains that it means that no yid needs to have another person daven on his behalf, that he can daven for himself. So therefore, the same way, there's shliach, the shliach of the Jewish people, who's doing the avodah on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, has the right to just go straight in rather than having to take any long way around. Then Akosev brings from the Ritva, who prefers an explanation from Rabbeinu Tam, that as we said yesterday, the Kohen Gadol usually the whole year round wears the me'il with the bells on it, as though like he has to announce his presence before he comes in. And now in Yom Kippur, we're saying he doesn't do that. He can just walk straight in like he's a Ben Bais over there. And Ben Yehoyada talks about that. For example, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu who is able to gaze directly at the Shechina, and we find by Matan Torah where Hashem shows his Shechina to the Jewish people directly. So in the same way, yes, on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol is on a level where he can be walking along and staring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim the whole time, and it's not a problem. Further on, it talks about, so after he does the Ketodos and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then the Mishnah had said he went out the way he came in, which means he walks backwards. So here again, actually, the Ein Yaakov, for some reason, has the pieces out of order as they are in the Gemara, but the actual piece that the Gemara is going to quote from the Mishnah and explain that he was walking backwards comes later at the end of page Chof Aleph, but here he first has this point about, so the Kohen Gadol walked backwards, and in a similar way, when we finish Shemoneh Esrei, where we're, so to speak, taking leave of Hashem, then also we walk backwards. So now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. Amr of Alexandri, Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, Hamispalot Tzarech Sheyafsiya Sholosh Psoyas La'acharav, a person davening Shemoneh Esrei has to take three steps backwards when he's done, V'achakach Yitin Sholem, and then he says Sholem. Now, there are two basic explanations of that among Rishonim. Does it mean that at that point, after having taken the three steps back, then he can say Shalom, meaning he can talk with other people and say Shalom Aleichem or whatever to them, meaning until he takes the three steps back, even though he's finished all of Shemoneh Esrei, he still can't do that yet? Or does it mean that at that point, he says Oysa Shalom Mimraimov, that like he's greeting Hashem, so to speak? Well, the second one is the actual way we do it, but the fact is both of them are correct up yalacha. But why it is three steps? So the Beis Yosef brings a bunch of reasons. Eitz Yosef brings a lot of them. The Beis Yosef in turn is quoting Rabbi Goyim, who says them. First of all, because when by Matan Torah, we know Vayar Ha'om Vayanu'u, they saw and they trembled, Vayamdu Merochek, and they're standing far away, they ran backwards 3 parsa, which is the size of Machne Yisrael. So therefore, as a miniature thing of that, we walk backwards 3 steps. Then there's also that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to receive the Torah from Hashem, he went through 3 levels, Choshech, Onan, Va'arofel, and when he left, he went back out through them. So the same way, another reason is that this way we're like going out of the place of Kedusha and going into a place of Chol. And then another reason he mentions is because the tefillahs are instead of the Korbanos Tamid, And when it came to the Korban Tumid, what it is, so they had the eventually after they cut up the event after they cut up the animal, after they've sprinkled the blood and everything, they cut up the animal and then they put the pieces on the kevesh. And later on, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, they carry up the pieces one at a time from the kevesh, from the ram, from the mizbeach, and throw them onto the fire. There was actually a space, the Gemara tells us in a few places, the kevesh did not go all the way till the top of the mizbeach. We learn from Sukkim that there has to be a space between them. The Beis Yosef learns that there was a space of three rows of stone floor tiles between the end of the kevesh and the mizbeach, and therefore corresponding to that, we have the three steps back. So all of those are reasons. Then the Magen Avraham brings a reason, which Maharsha brings over here earlier, which is we find a story in Sanhedrin where Nebuchadnezzar ran three steps in honor of Hashem. The story is over there that after Chizkiyahu recovered from his illness and Hashem stopped the sun, made the sun go backwards for him, some Roidach Baladan, the king of Babel, found out about it and he was very impressed and he wants to write a letter of greetings to Chizkiyahu. So his scribes write first, greetings to Chizkiyahu and to the city of Yerushalayim, and then to the great God. And Nebuchadnezzar finds out about it, who was a secretary of Merodach Baladan at the time, and he tells him it's not right. If he's the great God, he should come first. And he started running a couple of steps to go and then intercept the messenger and have him come back and so they can rewrite the letter. So in the schus of that, actually, the Gemara says that he would have run even more, except that Hashem stopped him, because as it is, with those three steps, he had the schus to have a dynasty of three generations, and then he had the power eventually to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, corresponding to that, we take our three steps backwards, and that is also why the Magen Avraham adds, that's why we say Shibana Beis Hamikdash at the end of it. Nebuchadnezzar, because of his three steps, was able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Now we ask that our three steps should help, that we should be able to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, so all of those are various reasons. The Arizal brings another point as well, which is that in Shemana Esrei we're in Atzilus. So therefore, this relates kind of to the three levels of cloud that the Beis Yosef had mentioned. When we're coming out of Atzilus, we have three worlds that we're going through. Bria, Yitzira, Asiya. Therefore, we take three steps back. Anyway, so you do that, and then you say Shalom. Omalei Rav Mordechai. So Rav Mordechai says, you should know, Kivin Shepasa Gimel Psias LaChorav, once you've taken three steps back, Hosa Miboyla LeMekam, then you should stay standing over there. Don't go back right away. Now, this is a common thing. Many people don't realize that, but you're supposed to wait there for a while. Mashal a Talmud and Niftam et Abay. It's like a Talmud who's taking leave from his Rebbe. Im Choyzer la'alter, if he returns right back to where he was, right after he steps backwards, Doimel a Kelev Sheshav Al-Kiyoy. Then he's like a dog returning to its vomit. Meaning, in other words, the point is, you know, it's one thing if a dog vomits, okay, it couldn't help it, it ate something that disagreed with it, but then if it goes right back to it, then it shows, like, you know, it shows a really bad tendency. So the same way, in other words, when a person just goes backwards and then right away after Oyser Shalom, he goes right back forward, then it shows he's stopped doing motions. He's not realizing that he was standing in front of Hashem. So therefore, it's a very disgraceful thing for him to do.
There are standard shears among them.
That's the way. Tani Nami Hochi. So we learn similarly in the Braisa. I'm a spal tzorch, she have see a gimel psias lachor of v'achra v'achdach yitin sholem. V'im lo also kein roi lo shalei spal. If not, then he would be better off having not daven, because again, in other words, it shows that he doesn't really have the proper mentality about how to daven to Hashem. Now, how long is he supposed to stay back? So there are Rishonim who learn that it's enough for him to stay four amos there. It's enough for him to stay there. It's time it takes to stand four amos, and then he can go back. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who learn that he's supposed to stay there until the Chazan reaches Kedusha. So Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, it's Paskin, preferably you should do that way, wait there until the Chazan reaches Kedusha. And it talks about that even if a person is davening B'yochid, he should figure out about how long it would take for the Chazan to reach that point and stay in that position. B'dievet, where he can't do that, for example, it's crowded in Shul, then he can get away with standing there for less time, even just the space of four amos if necessary. And also it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, on days when you have, there's going to be a lot of piyutim until you reach Kedusha, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tfilas Tal, Tfilas Geshem, then you can go back to your place right away when the Chazan starts Chazaras
Hashatz. You mean that
the time it takes to walk 4 hours? The time it takes to walk 4 hours, yeah, that's the absolute minimum, yeah. It also mentions in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, the Alter Rebbe mentions like this: you eventually take three steps forward. Now you have altogether you're taking six steps, and there's an inyan in that. Now you have people who don't like the idea that somebody should be walking in front of them and break up the six steps. That's why you often see people who have taken their three steps back and they put their arm out to prevent people from walking by. The fact is, the Alter Rebbe says, sometimes that leads people to say, you know what, let me go forward more quickly, so that way I don't have that problem in the first place. That's the wrong thing to do. Better let somebody walk in front of you and break up your three steps and your other three steps, rather than going back earlier, as our Gemara is saying, which is a very negative thing. Agav, by the way, it is worth mentioning, and a couple of the Rishonim say that this piece over here of Rav Mordechai is not actually from the original Gemara, that actually they say this Rav Mordechai over here was one of the Gaonim, where now the Gaonim already couldn't add to the Gemara, but sometimes you find that there were things that the Gaonim taught their Talmidim, which somebody would write down on the margin of his Gemara, and then the next generation, when they're copying it over, they would think that this is part of the Gemara, and they'd insert it. So a couple of the Rishonim say that that's how it is over here, which in that case would mean it doesn't have the force of a halacha in the Gemara, but nevertheless, it is brought in Shulchan Aruch that it does have that force. Now they said in the name of Rav Shmaya, Shenosin Shalom Liyamin V'Achakach L'Smol. First, when you're bowing by Osa Shalom, you should be bowing first to the right and then to the left. Now you're going to ask, one second, by Shemana Esther, we do the opposite, so we'll get to that in a minute. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Mimino Eish Das Lomoi. The Pasuk says, from Hashem's right hand, he gave us the Torah of fire. So we see, in other words, that the right hand is more important. And you also have a Pasuk, Yipo Mitzidcha Elef, 1,000 Mazikim will fall at your side, meaning your left side, Uruvava Miminacha, and 10,000 at your right side. So we see, in other words, the right side, so to speak, can tolerate and manage to ward off 10,000 Mazikim. So the right hand is strong. So the Gemara asks, "My v'omer." So why do you need a second pasuk? What's wrong with the proof from the first pasuk? Because v'chitema urcha demilsa hilamesa b'yamin. You could say, you know, why the Torah was given from Hashem's right hand, not because the right hand is more important, but because in general the righty gives something with his right hand. That doesn't show that there's a chashivus of the right hand over the left. Toshma yipo mitzid chalef rav minecha. Therefore, we have the second pasuk. So now, and in fact, in halacha, in general, we find that usually the right hand is given precedence in most places over the left hand. Back in Masechet Shabbos, for example, we learned when you're getting dressed, when you're putting on shoes, all kinds of things. When you're washing, when you're bathing, you always do the right side first. Only things that involve tying do you do the left first, because you tie tefillin on your left hand.
The right is chesed.
Yeah, that's behind all this, yeah. So the Gemara tells Rava Chazya La Abaya Diyov Shlomali Mini Beresha. So Rava saw Abaya when he was bowing at the end of Shemana Esrei, that he was first bowing to his right side, like when because he thought that's what Rav Shmaya means. Omalei, but Rava says no. Mi sabretli min didach, but the smil didach kamina. You think it means your right side and your left side? No, the smil didach shu yamina shal kadosh baruch hu means you first bow to your left, which is Hashem's right, because when you're davening Shemana Esrei, you're standing in front of the Shechina. Shivisi Hashem l'negvi samed, Rashi brings. So therefore, you should be bowing to your left first, which corresponds to Hashem's right. So Maharsha explains, in other words, that the significance behind it is, yeah, that since the right hand is chesed, you want to start with your left side, with Hashem's yamin, and that way you're asking that Hashem's midah of chesed and rachmim should overcome the midah of roigas. That's the yipo mitzidcha elef rav minecha, that you have all the makatra again that surround a person, and the bowing helps cut them off, as Maharsha refers to a story in the Gemara in Kiddushin, where Rav Acha bar Yaakov was on a shul that had a dangerous mazik in it with seven heads, and every time he was bowing during Shemana Esrei, one of the heads fell off. So we see that the bowing has tremendous power to overcome Kechas Atuma. Hamakna, by the way, on that Gemara in Kedushin, relates it to something in this week's parasha. When Yaakov is bowing down seven times when he sees Esav, so the Zohar talks about that really he's bowing to Hashem. There's an explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, that with that he's kind of reenacting the Parah Adruma, sprinkling the blood seven times in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But you have also the Hamakna there on Kedushin explains in the same vein, Yaakov is cutting off a part of Esav's tumah every time he's bowing to him. So that's the vote, that you bow to your left first. When it comes to Kaddish, by the way, then we don't. When it comes to Kaddish, then we do bow to the right first, because by Kaddish, you're not standing directly in front of the Shechina. Only when you're in Shemana Esrei, then you're in Olam Atzilos, then you're in directly in front of the Shechina, but not in other parts of that. So whenever you're saying Kaddish, you bow to the, when you say Oseh Shalom by Kaddish, you bow to the right first. But when you bow at the end of Shemana Esrei, then you bow to the left first, like we're saying over here. So he says, I saw Abaye and Rava would take these three steps backwards all in one bow, meaning that that's how you do. You bow, you take the three steps backward in a bowing posture, and then you do the Osa Shalom and bow in the different directions. In Torah, by the way, it brings that you do Osa Shalom in Rama, bowing to your left, Hu Yasa Shalom Aleinu to your right, Baal Ko Yisrael to Ivim Omin to the middle. However, in the newer Siddurim, it brings that the Rebbe would actually do Oise Shalom Mimroim of like that. So left on the word Oise, right on Shalom, and middle and Mimroim of where the Rebbe got that from, or whether even that report in the city was accurate. I don't know. I guess you'd have to look at videos of the Rebbe davening to see whether it's accurate, where the Rebbe got it from. I'm not sure. Okay. Further on, what? Obviously, yeah, but where's a mocker? Is there a written mocker for it before the Rebbe? I mean, the Rebbe is a mocker after all, but is there a mocker preceding the Rebbe? Where he got it from, I have no idea. Further on, it talks about, so now it says in the Mishnah that after the Kohen Gadol had left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, after he did the Ketores over there, he would say a tefillah ktsara, he would say a short tefillah in order to scare the Jewish people. So one of the things he would say in that tefillah, as he would say, we're going to talk about the nusach of the tefillah more on Omid Beis. But one of the things he would say was that when the world needs rain, Hashem, don't listen to tefillahs over drachim. Don't listen to tefillahs of people who are traveling and find the rain uncomfortable because the world needs it more. Let those travelers be inconvenienced. The rest of the world has rain. So the Gemara tells that Rab Chanina ben Dosa have a ka'ozel ba'urcha. Rab Chanina ben Dosa one time was walking on the road, shoda mitzra alei, and it started raining on him. Omelafonov, so he says, Ribbono Olam, Kola Olam Kuli Benachas, the whole world is in comfort because they have rain for their fields, and this way prices will stay low and so forth. But Chanina himself is in tsar, because I'm being rained on. Elsewhere, actually, it tells, I think when the Gemara tells us in Tainis, I think it says he was carrying a package of salt as well, and the whole thing would dissolve. Anyway, Posek Mitra, so the rain stopped. He also lebesay. Then, when Rav Chanina came home, Omer Riben Ha'olamim Kola Olam Kola Betzar, but Chanina Benachas, the whole world isn't tsar. Chanina is comfortable because I myself, Rashi says, he doesn't have any fields that he has anything planted in. So for him, he's comfortable with no rain. But the whole world, the rest of the world, isn't tsar. Osa Mitra, and sure enough, the rain started coming. Omer Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Maya Hanyel Itzloisa Dekana Rabba Legaber Rav Chanina Mendoza. So what good does the Kohen Gadol's tefillah do? He's saying that Hashem shouldn't listen to such tefillahs, but here Rav Chanina Mendoza's schus is enough to override that. Now, how could Rav Chanina Mendoza do such a thing? As he so he knows the whole world needs rain. Why is he asking Hashem to hold up the rain just so he should be comfortable and his salt doesn't dissolve or whatever? So Mao Shah explains that at that point it didn't need rain so badly yet. Yes, the rain is a good thing, but at that point, it wasn't like the situation was so desperate that they need rain right now. So therefore, he says, let it wait until, the whole world is benachas, so let me also be benachas, hold up the rain until I get home. And then when he comes home, now it's already the time when they need rain. So now he says, let the rain start falling. And as far as myself, I'm benachas because I don't have any fields anyway, but the whole rest of the world is bizarre. Then there are various other points. Ben Yehoyada says that he wasn't davening to begin with that the rain should stop. He didn't have a coat, Pashut. So he's asking Hashem, I'm in tsar because I don't have a good raincoat. So Hashem, please provide me one or something. And Hashem, to show how precious and what a tzaddik Rav Chanina Mendoza is and how precious he is to Hashem, so Hashem stopped the rain altogether. Instead of doing, in other words, for him to get a coat would be a nes, that's more bederach hatev. And instead Hashem wanted to show a nes l'maylam and hatev. Until he got home. The Rif over here makes a point. We know the Gemara tells us in Tainis, not only Rav Chanina didn't have a field to plant, like Rashi says over here, but also the Gemara says over there that he and his family lived off a calf of carobs from one Erev Shabbos to the next Erev Shabbos. So therefore, it's not only that he doesn't plant anything himself, he doesn't really need that prices for food should stay low anyway, because they're living off the cheapest food there is. So that's part of what he means when he says that the whole world is bitzar and Chanina is benachas, because he's saying, as far as I'm concerned, even if it doesn't rain b'chlal, I'll be fine, but the whole rest of the world isn't tsar, so Hashem, please send rain. Ion Yaakov points out another thing also. After all, Rav Yosef is saying that the Kohen Gadol's tefillah has no effect against Rav Chanina Mendoza. Well, after all, the Kohen Gadol's expression is, by Yikonis Lefanech Tefillahs Ovrei Drachim. the word Ovre is related to the word Aveda. So sure, it means people who do Avedas and they're on the road and they daven for the rain to stop. Yeah, Hashem, don't listen to them because the world needs rain. That's not meant to include Ochanan Mendoza in the first place, and therefore there's Taka no problem with his tefillah overriding that. Okay. So we said he keeps his tefillah short in order not to scare the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Maisib Kohen Gadol Echad Shehedech B'tefilasei. It happened once that a particular Kohen Gadol was davening at length. Tosfos Yeshanim brings from some place, I think from the Yerushalmi, that it was none other than Shimon HaTzadik. The Nimnu, it was so long, he was taking so long, the Nimnu Echav HaKohenim, Lekonis Achrav, so it was the other Kohenim voted, and they finally decided, you know what, we got to go in after him. He might not have made it out alive. After all, he might have acted like the Tzedukim or something. So they started coming in. Meanwhile, he just then he was coming out. And by the way, this in later times when you had Kohenim Golem who would Tzedukim, as we learned before, the problem became so prevalent. The Zohar tells us they eventually had got to the point where they had to tie a golden rope around the Kohen Gadol's leg so that if he takes too long in there and doesn't come out, they can schlep him out. Anyway, so they ask him, why do you daven at such length? Omalahem, so he says, what's the problem? Do you find it bad and difficult in your eyes that I daven that for you and that the Bismikdash shouldn't be destroyed? Especially if we say like Tosfos Yeshanim that this was Shimon HaTzadik, this might have been Taka that we learned before about what happened before that last, after that last Yom Kippur of his, where he says, I saw a figure dressed in black and he went in with me and didn't come out and he knew he was going to pass away shortly afterwards. So therefore, you'd have all the more reason that Yom Kippur to be davening all the more so that like this, here, the Jewish people are going to be falling to a much lower level, as we learned before. All the nisim that happened in his times are going to stop, but at least the bismikdash should continue to stand. So the chacham told him, the other kohenim told him, fine, but al tirog your lasses came. Don't do that on a regular basis. Sharei shaninu, because we learned in the Mishnah. Lo hayo marach b'tfilah, say, kadesh shalei lahavis it's Yisrael. And by the way, of course, even though the Mishnah was shalei lahavis, so it's not to frighten the Jewish people. So even though now the Mishnah itself was finalized by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi hundreds of years later, but nevertheless the Mishnah existed in some form long before that. You have what Isaac Halevi calls in a Sefer Doros HaRishonim, he calls it Yesod HaMishnah, the basis, the foundation of the Mishnah, which he says goes back to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and therefore that already existed, including the statement in Shimon HaTzadik's times, and therefore they could be quoting it to him. Okay, so Piska, now the quotation from the Mishnah, Yotzo Volei K'derech K'nisah. So we said the Kohen Gadol went out of the Kodesh Kedoshim the way he had come in, which means that he's facing backwards. He doesn't turn his back to the Aron, he walks backwards. So Menahani Mili, where do we know that that's the right thing to do? Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, Omer Kra, because you have a posik in Divrei Hayomim that says, Vayovei Shloimeh Laboma Asher B'Givon Yerushalayim. Shloimeh went to the Boma, which was in Givon. This Boma was actually the Mishkan. The Mishkan as a whole, this is before the Beis Hamikdash was built. However, at that point, it was called a Boma because the Oren was not there. The Oren was already located in Yerushalayim. David had it brought to Yerushalayim years earlier. And so at that point, the Oren was not in the Mishkan, and therefore the Mishkan does not have the full Kedusha of the Mishkan. In particular, you're allowed to bring Korbanos anywhere else. You're allowed to bring Korbanos on private Bamas anywhere else. So therefore, the main Mishkan was known at that time as the Bama Gdola. So now it says that Shloimeh went. This is after you have the Psukim over there that in Divrei Hayomim, it describes with this particular detail. It describes it also in Malachim that when Shloimeh became king, he goes to Givon over there to bring Korbanos. And that night he had a dream where Hashem asked him, what do you want? And he says, I want to have the greatest Chochmah and Hashem so I can judge the people and lead them. And Hashem tells him, you'll have Chochmah and Osher and so on and so forth. Anyway, so the pasuk says, "Vayovei Shloimeh laboma asher b'Givon Yerushalayim." Shloimeh went to the boma, which is in Givon Yerushalayim. Now, what does that mean? "V'chimayin in Givon Eitzei Yerushalayim." What does that mean? If it means that he went from the boma to Yerushalayim, then it should say that he went me boma asher b'Givon Yerushalayim. If it means that he's going from Yerushalayim to the boma, then it should say "Vayovei Givon laboma asher b'Givon me Yerushalayim." What's this expression "asher b'Givon Yerushalayim"? Elamakish, it's Yosim given the Yerushalayim, Lebi Yosim Yerushalayim the given. It means that it's comparing when he left Givon to return to Yerushalayim, he acted in the same way, he kept the same position as he did when he was coming from Yerushalayim to Givon. Ma bi Yosim Yerushalayim the given pon of klape bama kaderach bi Yosim, when he was traveling to Givon, Then he was facing towards, he was going in the direction of Givon, which is the normal way that a person walks. After Tiyasim, Givon Yerushalayim, the same way when he left Givon, he didn't turn his back. Then he stayed facing towards the Bama, towards the Mizbeach, the way he had come. So therefore, by saying, I went, it means in both cases, when he was coming and when he was returning, he's facing towards the Bama. Obviously not the whole way. He didn't walk backwards the whole way to Yerushalayim. It means until he's out of sight of the Bama. The same way when the Koyanim have finished their avoda in the Beis Hamikdash and they leave, the Ulavim b'duchanim, and the Levim when they're on the duchan to sing and play the instruments, the Yisrael b'mamodim and the Yisraelim when they're finished their maimed in the Beis Hamikdash, where they're there as representatives of the whole Jewish people, same thing. Shem niftarim when they leave, lo hayu machzirin pnei b'hochim. They don't turn around and go, Elamat Sadin and Pnei b'hochim. Rather, they turn their face to the side and they go out. So they walk out kind of sideways. And in fact, there's an interesting thing in that connection. One time that we do find that you turn your back to the Aron Kodesh is when the Koyanim are duchening. They stand with their backs towards the Aron Kodesh and they're in their faces towards the Kohol. There's an interesting explanation that is why. We know at the end of Birkas Koyanim, you have in the Siddur, the Tefillah that they say, Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu, Asei Monika Moshe Hatanu. We have done what you ordered on us, and then now you should do what you said in the Torah, Hashkifam Aron Kodesh Min Hashemayim. So why are they using the word gazarta as if it's like a gzera, which is usually a negative thing? So there's an interesting explanation because they're saying, usually we would never on our own turn our backs towards the Aron, but Hashem, you told us to duchen, ponim keneged ponim, so we have no choice, so therefore we followed your gzera, even though it seems to not be becoveted. As a matter of halacha, strictly speaking, if the Sifrei Torah are more than 10 tefachim above the ground, as they are in most Aronis Kodesh, then there's really less of an issue with it, which is why you have not only the Koyanim, but also when a Rav gives a drosha and shul and other examples, and people stand with their back to the Aron Kodesh. Strictly speaking, once it's more than 10 tefachim up, which is like 2.5-3 feet, then there's really less of an issue with it because it's considered a separate reshus anyway. So this one, I believe, is more than 10 tefachim up. So v'chein talmud anifta merabba, the same way when a talmud is taking leave of his rebbe, lo yachzu ponav v'yetze, he shouldn't just turn around and leave. Eliyat sadid ponav v'yetze, rather again he should turn his face to the side, walk on him kind of sideways outwards. Ki hodid Rabbi Elazar, as we have the example of what Rabbi Elazar did, who was a talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Ki have a miftim yinei Rabbi Yechanan when he was taking leave of Rabbi Yechanan. So it depends who was leaving first. Ki have a boy Rabbi Yechanan l'saguye, if Rabbi Yechanan was going to be the one leaving first. Have a gochin v'koyim Rabbi Elazar abduchte. Rabbi Elazar would bend down and bow down out of respect and staying in his place. Ad to have a michsi Rabbi Yechanan minei until Rabbi Yechanan was out of his sight. V'chiyav a boy Rabbi Elazar v'sagoye. If Rabbi Elazar was going to be the one leaving first, have a ozel achore, then he would walk backwards. Ad to have a michsi minei Rabbi Yechanan until he couldn't see Rabbi Yechanan. Why wouldn't he bow in that case also? Ben Yehoyada makes a point, because on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar also wanted to be able to see Rabbi Yochanan's face for as long as possible. So if he's leaving, then if he bows, he's not going to be able to see him for as long, therefore he would stay standing straight up. Mashenkin, when Rabbi Yochanan is leaving first, then he can bow and still be able to see him as long as Rabbi Yochanan is in the room. So another example, Rava, he have a miftim in Eved Rav Yosef. When Rava would take leave of Rav Yosef, have a ozelachor, Rava would also walk backwards. Ad to have a minag fun kare until he would bang his feet on the threshold there. Or mitvos and askupta de be Rav Yosef doma. So the thresholds of Rav Yosef's house would be full of blood from his feet banging into them. Now, the point is, in other words, Ben Yehoyada makes the point. So Rava was doing a couple of things over here that he didn't have to do. He was going the Fnim Mishra Sadin. First of all, we said before, Talmud doesn't have to actually walk literally backwards. We can't see where he's going. He can walk sort of sideways. Rava took it to the next level and was literally walking backwards. And number two, Rabbi Yosef, after all, was blind. So he couldn't see what Rava is doing anyway. And still, Rava showed him this extra covering. Omru Leila Rabbi Yosef, Hachika Ovid Rava. So they told Rabbi Yosef, again, Rabbi Yosef couldn't see because he was blind, but they told him this is what Rava is doing. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef gave him a bracha. Yehei Rava, the Terum Reshach HaKolei Kraka. May it be Hashem's will that your head should be elevated above the whole city. So Rashi says it means that you're going to be the senior Rosh Hashiva of the city. Marsha says beyond that, you have in Rava's times, you had Abaya and Rava, and each of them had a great yeshiva of their own. But then when Abaye passed away, Rava outlived Abaye by 14 years, Rav Shura tells us in his Igeres. So then everybody came to learn by Rava. All of Abaye's Talmidim came to learn by Rava, so therefore he literally was above the entire city. In fact, Rav Shura in the Igeres over there goes further. He says in Rava's times, Rava's really was the only great yeshiva at that time in Bavel. You had individual little yeshivas all over the place, but in general, throughout most of the time when the Jews were in Bavel, you had two great yeshivas over there, Sura and Pompidissa. In Rava's times, the yeshiva of Sura was not functioning, and therefore the yeshiva of Pompidissa was the central yeshiva of the entire Jewry of Bavel. So in that sense, that was also a kiyum of Rav Yosef's bracha that he should be greater than the entire city. Rabbeinu Chananel here on the Gemara adds another point as well, another dimension of Rabbi Yosef's bracha was also that the halacha should be like Rava, which it is almost all the time. Against Abaye, the halacha is almost always like Rabbi, like Rava, except for six cases. So Piska, so one more little piece. So the Mishnah had said, the Kohen Gadol would daven a short tefillah in the outer chamber in the Heichal. My Matzli, what exactly did he daven? Rabba Barab Ada, the Ravan Barab Ada, Tavayu Mishmei, the Rab Amri. So both Rabba Barab Ada and Ravan Barab Ada both say in the name of Rab, he would say, Yehi Rotzin Mofanach Hashem Alekenu, Shetehe Shonazu Gishuma Ushchuna, that this year should be rainy and hot. So the Gemara asks, Shchuna Mal, you see, is being hot an advantage? I mean, too hot is no good also. Ela Ema, what he says is, Im Shchuna Tehe Gshuma, and this is how we say it in the Seder Avodah Yom Kippur. He's saying that if it's destined to be a rainy year, then it should, if it's destined to be a hot year, then at least it should counteract that by being rainy rather than being hot and dry, which would be a lot worse. Rav Acha Bre de Rava Mesayim B'Meshmei de Rav Yehuda. He would continue. Rav Yehuda would say there was more to it as well. He would say Lo Yedi Avid Shultan Medves Yehuda. There should never leave the family, the Shevet of Yehuda, someone who exercised rulership. So that would be the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, the Reish Galusa in Babel. The Jewish people should not need one from another. Not so much tzedakah, Marshall says, but rather they shouldn't have to. The only way they can make a living is by doing business with each other. Better, they should be able to make a living from outside sources as well, and that way bring in new wealth into the economy. And the tefillah of passers by, of travelers that we said before, that they're davening that it shouldn't rain, don't listen to it because the world needs rain more than they need to be out of the rain.
We
want to daven that because it's uncomfortable for them. The Kohen Gadol is saying, Hashem, don't listen to their tefillahs, which, as we said before, Rav Chanina Mendoza can overcome that, but the Kohen Gadol is davening that other people shouldn't. So yeah, we say all these things in the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. Mefarshim explain also that the Kohen Gadol would add other things on an as-needed basis. We said before that Shimon HaTzadik, for example, was davening that the Beis Hamikdash shouldn't be destroyed, so they would add things on an as-needed basis. We also, after we finish the Seder HaAvodah, we say a longer tefillah over there, Yiratzim Mofanecha, just as you heard the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, so you should hear our tefillah and you should give us Shnas Oda, Shnas Bracha, and the whole tefillah that we say over there. The first line we learned tonight was actually Rabbi Yossi.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean, because...
Alexandri.
I know, but we didn't learn that. Okay, anyway.
You learned it.
Okay, whatever. No, I'm not a Gilbert, I've been as far as that. Okay.
How do you know?
I don't know. Anyway, onward. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola to Zion Kislev. So we have the order that the Rambam describes in what order Mashiach does things. Yilchem Milchamas Hashem, he'll fight the wars of Hashem, and he'll build the Beis Hamikdash in its place. Now, what does Milchamas Hashem mean? Without specifying, it means the war against Amalek. So only after Amalek is wiped out and we have a state of Menucha, only then will the Beis Hamikdash be built. That's how it was by the first Beis Hamikdash, after all. Only when they had rest and respite from the Goyim around them in David and Shlomo's times, only then was the Beis Hamikdash built. Continuing on halachas of Shabbos davening, so we started talking yesterday about Bracha Achas Mein Sheva, which is meant to, it's like a short version of Shemoneh Esrei, and we said it's meant for this way people come late to Shul, and this way they want to stay behind.
Yeah.
So you say that every Shabbos of the year, even Yom Tov, or even Shabbos that comes right after Yom Tov, the only exception is when Shabbos comes out, the first night of Pesach, then you don't do it because the first night of Pesach is Leil Shimurim, so therefore you don't need protection from Mazikim on a night like that. You also only say it in a minyan kavua. So if you have, for example, a place where you're just davening on an ad hoc basis, for example, in a Beis HaChosen or in a Beis HaOvel, then you don't say it. However, the Alter Rebbe says people who are noyuk to say it even in such places in Limchas B'Yodam, if they have a place where they set up, for example, by a fair, or like, for example, when people go up to the country and they're there for several weeks and they have a certain kvius for those weeks, then you should say it. What?
You say
Hallel for it's not a Pesach, right? But you don't also say, you don't say Brachach is meant Sheva because it's meant for protection against Mazikim, and you don't need that.